Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Hebrews in the 10th chapter as we hear of a call to be a particular sort of community for God. We hear these words, "Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with hearts sprinkled clean from any evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the end of August, I had promised you that we would talk about discipleship for the month of September, what it looks like and feels like to be a follower of Jesus and to be part of a community of faith called the body of Christ. One of the simplest and quickest ways that I know how to break down what discipleship looks like is by one of the promises that we make in becoming a member of a local United Methodist Church. Many, even most of you, are a member of this congregation. And if you'd like to become a member, please let me know, and we can help you with that. Many of you have taken these membership vows, and oftentimes in this very sanctuary right up here. And each time someone makes a new profession of faith or transfers their membership into this congregation, you reaffirm those vows that you first took. This spring, you probably did it at least twice. We had some join the congregation. We had some being confirmed. And so you likely did it at least twice, if not more. So my question to you is, do you remember the promises you have made and you reaffirm? One of the things that you promised to do was uphold this congregation, this local church, by these five things: your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Maybe you don't remember the witness part. It was added in 2008, but it still applies retroactively. And every time you reaffirm, it's "and witness." Now, it's not printed that way in your hymnals, and I keep threatening to take a pencil and write "and witness" in every single hymnal, and maybe I will. But these are the things that many of you have already promised, and maybe some of you are thinking about promising. So are you keeping your promises? Are you supporting the church in these five ways? Are you engaging in your discipleship actively? There are 5 weeks in September, so we have 1 week dedicated to each. Last week, we began with prayer. Now, the prayer stations are still up around the sanctuary. There are 10 of them. So if you weren't here last week and you would like to get a taste of what that was like as we practiced prayer, you are welcome to go through the prayer stations. They'll stay up throughout September. So you can go ahead and visit those whenever you desire. My goal as we walk through each of these five promises that we've made is to give you something very practical, something that you can either say, "Yes, I'm doing that, and I'm going to continue doing that," or say, "Oh, I'm not doing anything in this area, and I probably should be, and so I'm going to choose to engage in this way. Or I used to do that, but maybe I've let that go for a while now, and I need to re-engage. So there are pathways for you to be involved in each of these five ways. Now, it seems like a lot to take on, and maybe you feel like I'm force-feeding you your vegetables a little bit. I used this image last week that I don't want to have to force-feed you your vegetables. That is not my goal. I want to give you a different picture. I want to give you this picture, the picture of a great and grandiose buffet with lots and lots of options. Lots of possibilities. Now, you don't need to pile your plate up so high it's going to tip over before you reach your table. You don't have to try everything all at once. You also don't have to take huge portions. You don't have to dive in wholesale to everything. It's okay to just dip your toe in the water, to start somewhere, to do a little bit of sampling. That's usually a good strategy at a buffet. To do a little bit here and there, sampling, figuring out places and things that you like and can engage with. Here's what you shouldn't ever do at a buffet. You should never go hungry. You should never starve at a buffet. There should always be something that you can eat. Similarly here, this isn't the time to say, yeah, I know I made promises, but I didn't mean them. This is the time to say, I'll try. I'll start somewhere. You're not being asked to lead the next worship service next week. You're not being asked to take on housing all the homeless people in the county today. But there are ways that we can get started. And so I hope that you see and hear ways to begin or to restart or to continue the things that you are doing or would like to do. So that gets me to today. We find ourselves with presence. And what does it mean for our discipleship as individuals and as a community of faith? To be present. Being present is both easy and really hard for many different reasons. Sometimes walking through the door is the hardest thing. Sometimes that's the easy part. Staying in the room is the hard part. Your mind goes off to make your shopping list at the grocery store or think through all the things you need to get done before you go to work tomorrow or whatever it may be. Showing up is the easy part. Staying here is the hard part. Sometimes getting here is the hard part. And once you're here, you're here. That's the easy part. Presence is both difficult and easy. I want to give you 10 reasons why you should be present when the church gathers. The first reason is that the Bible says to do it. That was our last verse from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together. It means get together, show up, be present. The second reason it's important to gather as church is to have an opportunity to worship God together. There's no higher calling as a Christian than the call to worship God. And that's something that we do well together. The third is that you'll be encouraged in your walk with God. Maybe by me, but maybe not by me. Certainly by someone else. Fourth reason is it will help you to define what you believe and will help you understand the Bible. Again, maybe it's something that I say, but it's probably going to be something somebody else says that helps you think through your faith, that helps you read the Bible in a new light. The fifth reason that it's good to gather as the church is that people who attend church live longer. You're welcome. Don't believe me? You can Google it. People who attend church live longer. The sixth reason to gather as a faith community is that this is an outlet for service and mission opportunities and will help you to get outside of yourself. The seventh reason is that this is a place where you can pray and where you can be prayed for. It's hard to be prayed for if there's nobody else there. The eighth reason to come be a part of a community of faith is that it strengthens your own faith and encourages your own growth as a disciple. The ninth reason is that you are accepted and loved just by walking in the door. You don't have to have the fanciest dress or the shiniest shoes or the biggest bow. You are loved and accepted because you are a child of God, and that is enough. And the 10th reason, probably the most important reason to gather together, is because God promises to show up. We're told in Scripture, wherever two or three gather in my name, I am there. That's what God promises. God promises to show up too. So you meet God here. However, it's not all about us, me, you, when we gather. Oftentimes, it's really all about God. And sometimes it's about others who need us to be a part of their journey with God as well. We make promises to each other to pray for one another, to comfort one another. Scripture tells us that we are to pursue the common good, to encourage and to build one another up, to speak well of one another, to speak the truth, to speak admonishing words when needed, and to bless one another. That's hard to do if we're not gathered together. We gather together. We spend time together as God's family. Now, there's someone who has some trusted advice that I found this week. And that trusted advice comes from Pope Francis. He says that loving Jesus without loving the church is a pretty absurd dichotomy. In fact, he says it's impossible to love Jesus but not the church. He says this because he says Jesus and the church are tightly intertwined. Jesus set them up that way. Jesus as the head of the church with those he spent a lot of time with gathered together, those who became those first leaders in the church. To say that you love Jesus but shun the church or organized religion or Christianity is like saying you love your best friend but you hate his or her spouse. That is not a good recipe for a long-lasting and close relationship. Faith doesn't thrive or survive in solitude. So here's the practical piece. Come together. There are lots of opportunities. Show up. Be present. We worship weekly. Now, I don't see that as an optional thing. Worship is important. It's at the core of what we do, of who we are as God's people. So commit to showing up to worship. Maybe it's twice a month. Maybe it's three times a month. Maybe it's every time you're in town. Commit to being present. Now, I don't want to be legalistic about attendance, and I realize there may be occasions when you need to be away. You're traveling, you're sick, you're engaged in something that takes your physical being away. But I also don't want this to be a blank check to say, yeah, sure, show up to church once or twice a year and call it good. Being together is important. We also have other opportunities to gather in addition to worship. There are small group studies, there's Sunday school, there's lunch bunch, there's weekday Bible studies, there's youth group, there's fellowship activities, there's service and outreach possibilities. This is where, again, I put in the plug. Sign up for the county fair. It's a great way to be gathered, right? Yeah, or gather up some friends and go together, some family members in this family of God. There are lots of ways to be present. Try something, or try several things if you want. There's a bulletin calendar in the back. There are several announcements that give you all the details for ways to be present for numerous possibilities. But friends, it's not only the way that we gather for worship and committing to gather for worship or committing to come for more than just worship. There are some of our community that we don't gather with, and it's our fault and not theirs. We don't gather with those who have a hard time getting to church, even though they'd like to gather with us. We have a number of people who no longer drive and who don't have a way to get to church, but would like to be here. So maybe you want to be someone who commits to picking them up. If that's you, take out one of those cards in the pew back pockets in front of you that's blue across the top and says notes, and write your name down and then hand it to me as you leave the sanctuary. There are a number of people. We can get someone who's near you to be able to go to church, to gather with us. Now, here's the most compelling thing for me. It's not just about going to church. Presence is so much more. We know from the hymn where you have to fold your hands the right way, the I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together, that a church is not a building and a church is not a steeple. Church is not a resting place. The church is the people. You are the church. Wherever you gather, God is there. The hymn applies. This isn't a church just because there's a label on the outside of the building that says church. Church has to do with the way you live, the way you demonstrate God's love, the ways that you share your faith. It's not about being a consumer of what goes inside, of what goes on inside some walls. It's about being a contributor to God's family. Here's a real life lesson to illustrate. In my house, there is a room. It is called the family room. Maybe you have one. Maybe you refer to yours as the living room or the den or whatever other word you have for the room that you spend time gathered together in. Now, sometimes things go really, really good in the family room at my house. Those are oftentimes the times where we curl up on the couch together and read books with a certain toddler, or we clear off the floor and put down the figure eight train tracks and run the train around over and over again. Or maybe it's rolling a ball or learning to kick a ball or any of a number of things that we do when we do them together. Things go well in the family room when we are family, when we are together, when we pay attention to one another and interact with each other. Here's when things don't go so well in the family room. When somebody's on a computer or on a phone or on some other sort of device or the TV is on and someone else needs attention. And they feel like they are isolated or like they're not getting what they need from someone else, when we aren't family to each other very well, when we aren't present with one another. Even if we physically showed up in the same room, we aren't present. Presence is important. We interact with one another. And when we deprive ourselves of that, it's not uncommon for things to go wrong. What if in the church building, we had a family room? What if this was our family room? And in this family room, we showed up and God showed up and we were here together. Now we don't have an excuse, right? No excuse for checking Facebook, for being too busy, for gardening or going to soccer practice or whatever other distraction may keep you away. What if we deprived ourselves of having the opportunity to spend time with God and to spend time with God's family? What if we didn't show up and the backpacks for children weren't filled and they went hungry on the weekend? We're better in faith together than we are alone. Now, I don't want to guilt you into showing up, into thinking you have to be present at every single thing, every single time. If that's why you're going to show up to something, let it go. I want you to be present because you want to be present. I want you to show up because you believe that God is going to show up. And I want you to gather together because you want to be a part of a loving community that invests in each other the way God invests in each one of us. So I'm encouraging you to live up to your promises, to gather with us for worship, for study, for fellowship, for helping out others, to be in the room and present. The more we invest in this community of faith, the more we'll see the power of God working in and through it. I'm thankful for a God who reminds us that God shows up. And when two or three of us are gathered, you better expect mighty powerful things to happen. Amen.